It's good to have all of you with us the last few days of 2014. You know, I can hardly believe it's the end of the year. What about you, Brandon? Do you realize it? It's because it came so fast.
It always goes by so quickly, Doris. It's amazing that we're already at the end of 2014.
Right, and I'm glad that you could come today to be with us, one of our editors. And we also have our editor from our Let's Talk magazine, Ellen, here. Thanks for joining us, Ellen.
Thanks for having me on here.
Well, Ellen, in Let's Talk, you have some new, good, interesting things coming up this next year. A Studio Classroom does. And do we have some interesting things in advance, too?
We sure do. Doris, have many interesting things to talk about in the coming year.
That's right. You can be sure and get the next month's magazine because there'll be some nice surprises in it. Things you can do with your cell phone.
That's right.
You're going to want to do that. So that's just kind of a little preview of coming up next year. So every day, there are certain things that keep us motivated. And part of us is trying to get information to you that motivates us to try to find things that will help you that will be interesting.
Yes, we want to find things that are interesting. We're here at the end of this year, and we're starting a new year, and we want to think about goals and things in the future. What will be helpful for you? Maybe you want to think about some goals today, some things you want to write down, and hopefully you will accomplish them next year.
Right, and without any motivation, then we don't feel like doing anything. Isn't that true, Ellen?
That's absolutely true. Motivation helps to keep us going every day. It's kind of that the oil that keeps us running.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes when things are going well, we feel motivated. But when we have problems and hardships, we kind of lose motivation and say, why try anyway? But we're going to find about a man who got new motivation and did something he thought would be a dream for him, right?
Absolutely. He took a time in his life where he thought maybe things were not looking so great, and he turned it into something where he could accomplish many, many of his dreams.
So that's kind of the article in a nutshell, but we're going to start on it today because we just have 2 or 3 days left in this year. So open your magazines to page 43 now, and we're going to start out, Reach for Your Dreams. And what area of the world does he cover in his dreams?
Well, he's going to many, many different places. We see he's going to 100 countries already.
So. 7 continents,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
100 countries? Wow. He is a world traveler. I don't know if this is a motivation article or a travel article. I think it's a travel article, too.
Exactly. But he's going to teach us a little bit about how he motivated himself to accomplish.
And how he set goals and new goals. So it's a good time to read that. Let's open our magazines to page 43 and read down through life, line 18.
Reach for your dreams. 7 continents and 100 countries later, this world traveler is still setting new goals. Douglas Nixon makes lists of goals. Lots and lots of lists. Then, unlike you and me, he accomplishes them. 18 years ago, he was financially busted, bankrupt. He had just gone through an emotional divorce. Nixon decided it was time to pull himself out of my own dark ages. He gathered a bunch of magazines and travel brochures with photos of landmarks around the world. Buckingham Palace, the Eiffel Tower, and the Great Pyramid in Egypt. He cut out the pictures and glued them on 2x4-foot cardboard. I am going to go to all those places, he vowed. Now, at age 68, he says he has been to more than 100 countries and all 7 continents. These days, that framed cardboard collage hangs in his home office. You bet he's proud.
So we're talking about the life story, really, of Douglas Nixon. And we see here at the beginning that he went through some difficult times, and he even refers to something called the Dark Ages, Ellen.
Yeah, the Dark Ages is just a time or a period of time in European history where there was just not a lot of positivity. They went through a period of time where many people could not accept others, beliefs or perspectives and opinions, and this period lasted about 500 years.
Well, I would probably say we've gone through hard times or difficult times. I don't think most people would refer to sad times in their life as the Dark Ages. It's kind of unusual, isn't it?
Very dramatic.
Very yes. dramatic.
It's great for when you're reading or watching a movie, you want to be very dramatic. So.
Yeah, but you refer to it as a very difficult time and so forth. But, you know, it says that he makes lists of goals. Now, the reason we put this in this time of year, because everybody's making New Year's resolutions. They're writing down the goals for the new year.
Right, absolutely. That is a tradition that many people have, is they think of things they want to accomplish in the new year, in 2015, and they write them down and decide whether or not they actually want to try to accomplish them.
He makes lots and lots of lists. Most people just make one list, isn't that right?
And even then, it's hard to accomplish everything on the list. We don't always follow through, but he actually did.
That's true. We always call those New Year's resolutions. I will resolve that I'm going to get more exercise, eat the right kind of food, do dana, whatever.
Hmm? Right, exactly.
Take a vacation. So, but he does. He writes them down, but he also goes ahead and does them. He accomplishes them.
That's right. And he did this by gathering a bunch of magazines. And so he got some ideas, some inspiration from different places he may want to go. And we need to be inspired. That's why we're looking at this topic and looking at this guy's life, because maybe we need some inspiration to have our own goals.
Well, he talks about something that happened about 18 years ago. And it goes on to say that he's 68, so he would have been about 50. And when you say, you often hear about people saying they have kind of a midlife crisis when they're 50, you know, oh, I've been working all this time, and what's my future? It's kind of one of those in-between times. You're not old yet, you're not young. And maybe he was going through a midlife crisis. Do you think so?
That's a really good point, Doris. Sometimes you get to that age around 50 or so, and you think, oh, I'm getting older, and I want to do things while I still have energy. So that maybe that's what he wanted to do.
So when he was about 50 years old, what kind of a situation was he actually in?
Well, he describes it as being financially busted or bankrupt. When we say somebody's financially busted, it just means they don't have a lot of money, or they lost the money that they saved.
Busted is almost like being broken in a way, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all gone. I don't know what I'm going to do now, right? And another thing, he had a very emotional divorce. I suppose that most divorces would be emotional, wouldn't they?
That's true, yeah. Going through a really difficult time,
right.
Of course.
So he'd been married probably quite a while, mm-hmm. but then they got divorced, and that would be hard to take. So then he thought, well, I'm going to have to do something about this. We often talk about pulling ourselves out of it. Don't stay down there in that state. Do something about it. He said, I'm going to do something.
Right, absolutely. As you use the phrase, pull yourself together, right? So he pulled himself together, as Brandon had mentioned earlier. He found some magazines and decided to make some goals.
Now, that was interesting. He probably worked very hard all that time, but then he says, now I am going to travel around the world. And that was one of his goals.
Yeah, and he wanted to go to different places. He saw photos of places like Buckingham Palace and London and the Eiffel Tower and Paris and even the Great Pyramids in Egypt.
And then what did he do about it?
He cut them out and he put them on a piece of cardboard so right. he could kind of always look at these pictures and give himself that motivation to actually accomplish them.
So that was kind of interesting. I said, I'm going to go to all those places. Now, a lot of people wouldn't think that was much of a goal, but to him it really was.
Right.
To me, my goal would be more like I'm going to learn something new, or I'm going to go help people in Africa or something. But just to say I'm going to go around and see everything. But to him, it was kind of like a dream. I want to go there. So he was reaching for doing something that made him feel satisfied, don't you think?
Yeah, it's something that he really wanted to do. And I'm sure he learned a lot along the way, Doris, as he visited different places, historical sites and so forth. I'm sure he learned a lot as well.
Those are all well-known places, and we've all studied about and read about them many times. So then he did something. He put them all together and made a kind of a picture of the places, framed cardboard, and put them all together like a collage, which means more than one picture. And now it's hanging in his home office, and he's pretty proud of it.
That's right. And you can see a picture of that on page 45. A collage is just a bunch of things that are put together. In this case, they're pictures. Usually they're pictures, and there's all there together, and it kind of gives you an overview of the places he wanted to visit.
So he was reaching out to do something that he thought he wanted to do, and he wanted to travel around the world. And he thought maybe that would make him feel better, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I even think on a smaller scale, sometimes you're just sitting at home and you don't feel well and you're having a pity party, maybe, and you just need to go outside and you feel better.
Go out and look at the park and listen to the birds sing or something like that.
Right.
But I don't write it down and make a little goal.
Sure.
Just do it.
Right.
But he, you know, was pretty well organized and everything, and he made a list of those. I'm going to do this, I'm going there. And then he planned it out, didn't he?
Absolutely. He planned it out, and he now, after having planned all this, he has gone to more than 100 countries and to all 7 continents.
Now, some people might say, well, are you sure he went to that many countries and everything? And so he actually has some things to show us. He has collections of things he picked up and little things that we call mementos. We're going to talk about them. Let's finish reading the second part of page 43.
Collections and mementos. If Nixon's travel stories were a hoax, it would be an incredibly intricate hoax. He has passports with stamps from various nations. He has photos of himself at various famous locations. That's him on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. That's him on a camel in Egypt. That's his certificate from a Marine cruise vouching he landed at Naco Harbor on the Antarctic Peninsula. And he keeps making lists. In carefully cataloged envelopes, he has currencies from more than 50 of the nations he has visited. He not only has visited every state in the U.S., but is only 6 away from visiting every state 4 times. He has collected tiny pebbles from 138 well-known locations, from Waikiki Beach to the ruins of Pompeii in Italy, which he keeps in a porcelain vase. In his home, Nixon has turned a room into a shrunken version of England's House of Lords library, complete with the well-polished wood bookshelves that are crammed with hardbacks.
Well, most people would just say, wow, isn't that something? But some people might say, well, I wonder if he did that. You know, maybe it's a hoax. He just pretended. I wouldn't think it was a hoax, but some people might, right?
Right. It's, you know, many times we make goals and we may or may not accomplish them. So for somebody to actually travel to 100 countries and 7 continents, we might think, you know, we might question it a little bit.
But it would be a very difficult, they say intricate, it means very futsa, very intricate hoax, because a hoax is just a way of pianrenjas, cheat people, right? And I don't think that we would do that, but he can prove it. How does he prove that it wasn't just a trick?
Well, we see that he has passports with stamps from different nations, so of course you can prove it. Just look at his passports.
Right, and pictures of himself. And you know what, whenever but he goes to the Eiffel Tower in Paris and stuff, they always take a picture of any place like that. They always take a picture of certain things in England, and they go to the pyramids and they take a picture. So you just see those on everybody's Facebook now, don't you?
Right.
Profile photos.
Right. Selfies.
How can you go to Paris without taking a picture in front of the Eiffel Tower?
Exactly.
Those are landmarks, aren't they?
Right.
And so he has a lot of things to prove it. But these are just some places that people go to that are big sites, but he's also been to the stage of the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville. Now, you've been to Nashville, haven't you?
I lived in Nashville
for a
summer.
Did you have a picture there at the Grand Ole Opry?
I did not.
Can you prove it?
But the Grand Ole Opry is just a place where country music singers perform, very famous ones, so a lot of people like to go there.
A lot of people have been there. Well, maybe you have a ticket. That, you know, sometimes you can save the stub of your ticket to show. But people like to take pictures of those places. And then so he's been to places where you would go to see shows and operas. And then if you look at his collage, we can't see everything on there. Where they say, oh, there's a camel in Egypt. And, you know, I've got a picture of me on a camel up in the northwest China.
Yeah. Cool.
But, you know, so I've been there. There's a camel. I've got a picture with a yurt up there. So those are kind of fun things to look at. Maybe I should make a collage sometime.
You should. Way.
Yeah.
Or a slideshow.
Yeah.
But he's got all these things to show, and he's got certificates. He's been on a ship, on a marine cruise. And what did that prove? Line 25.
Well, that proved that he went to this harbor, this Naco harbor. And as I was looking up information about this, you can only go to this by taking a cruise. And about 30,000 people go there each year. And, of course, it's very cold. It's in Antarctica. You can only go certain times of the year, right? And the weather can affect whether or not you can go or not. So it's not something that everyone would do.
No, because that's in the Antarctic Peninsula, and that's really, penguins go there, right?
Yeah, you can actually see penguins there, and of course the glaciers.
So that's kind of different, you know, compared to Nashville, right?
Yeah. Very different.
So it shows that he did all that, and it proves it when you vouch. Sometimes you will vouch for a person. You say, is that person really honest? Yes, I will vouch for them. Yes, I know they are. So that means to prove something, doesn't it? And these pictures vouch for the fact that he landed at this harbor there in the Antarctic Peninsula. So that's pretty interesting. He did have a lot of variety on his trips.
That's right. He didn't just stay in the U.S. or anything like that. Of course, we already know that he's been to many, many countries. And so, of course, he went to a variety of places.
So he still keeps making lists. So he started doing this, and he's not through. He enjoyed it, and he's keeping on doing it.
Right. This is his hobby now, is to travel and to just visit as many places as he can. So he keeps making lists. And then if we look in the next paragraph, we even see he has cataloged envelopes of different currencies.
Here's my money from Paris. Here's my money from Spain, from Italy, little envelopes. I used to collect more money when we traveled in different coins because they looked so different and show them to my friends. And then they'd all get mixed up in a drawer, and I thought, I'll never use them anyway. I mean, what am I going to do with them? But, you know, it's fun to pick up these little souvenirs, and this is the kind of money they use there and so forth.
Yeah, you can have that as sort of a memento. You remember that place when you look at the coin or something you bought.
If you're lucky enough, maybe someday it'll be worth more. Who knows? Who knows, you know? But different kinds of money, the currencies. He's got currencies, money from more than 50 nations. So he's got to have a lot of space to put all that stuff, doesn't he?
Right. Mm-hmm. He probably has a very big box in his house with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's visited every state in the U.S. I don't think I've done that. Have you, Brad?
I have not. There are many states, 50 states, of course, and so that takes a lot of time.
Absolutely. I probably have only been to about 10 states myself.
But you've also been to Brazil. That's kind of far away.
Yeah.
Do you have any pictures of Brazil, too?
I do. I have.
What other countries?
I have been to
England.
I have been to England. And
well, when you went to England, did you take any pictures there?
I did, too. Yeah.
Buckingham Palace?
Right in front of Buckingham Palace.
See? Have you been to Paris?
I have not.
Okay, that'll be on. Make a list. That might be one of your goals. Well, now, what countries have you been to, Brandon?
Well, I've been to Argentina several years ago, and that was very different. That was my first experience overseas.
Have you been to Argentina, too?
I have not.
It's pretty close to Brazil, right next to
it. It is. It's on my
put on your next list.
Okay.
And where else besides?
Well, I've been to countries in Asia. I've been over to Thailand and the Philippines and Indonesia.
Well, I've been to quite a few countries, so I'm not going to go into all those now. But it is fun to have little souvenirs and things that you take from these different places. And he collected interesting things. Some people like collect little dolls, you know, that look like the national costume that they wear.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people collect jackets or something that looks, you know. But he collected little things like tiny pebbles. Little stones, they would be easier to carry around.
Yeah, and I think that would be nice to see them all together, maybe, to make some, you know, something, some little decorative piece in your house. And he collected a lot of them from well-known beaches and even in Italy.
I don't know how he knows where they're from. It's just from 138 well-known locations. And I don't know that they look different. Maybe he marked them. These are all the pebbles.
Right.
From
as you were saying it, I was thinking the same exact thought. Like maybe he wrote the name on it.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be quite as interesting to me as seeing some other cute things like costumes or the kind of little like Norwegians have certain costumes, and they'll have dolls that you can buy dressed up in those costumes. Those are kind of fun.
Yeah, my parents actually do magnets.
Buy a magnet. Those are nice, too, that you put on your refrigerator.
Yeah, so we have an entire refrigerator full of magnets, places my parents have been
to. A lot of people like to do that, or get key rings with a name on it.
Exactly.
So many kinds of souvenirs. And it's fun to collect those. Well, it also says that he says he went places like Waikiki Beach, which is a lot of people go there. But he also went to the ruins of Pompeii in Italy. I've never been there. But why would you want to go see a ruins? Would that be interesting?
Yeah, especially right here in Pompeii, because many years ago, Mount Vesuvius erupted. And it covered the whole area there, and people died, but everything was preserved. They went back.
Didn't it kind of bury a whole?
Yeah, it buried it there, and it preserved it. And back in 1748, they began to go underneath all of that, and you can go and see some of the ruins today. So I think that's very interesting.
Well, maybe put it on your list too, Ellen.
Oh, sure, okay. Sure.
I don't know about getting stones and things from there, but there are a lot of interesting places in the world. And if you listen to Studio Classroom or Advance, pretty soon you'll hear about it, because we bring them up all the time, don't we?
Exactly.
Places to go, things to see.
We try to cover just about all of them, I think.
And, you know, our travel articles are pretty popular with people. They like those quite a bit, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, where does he keep all these things? I mean, he's got a lot of souvenirs, and so where does he keep them?
Well, we see that he keeps them in his home. He has a room, actually, where he looks like he spends a lot of his time, and a library. We see here the House of Lords is kind of his model for his library at home.
Okay. Now, the House of Lords is a very, very big library with books by Shakespeare and, you know, and of course, naturally, museums and stuff have big libraries and stuff in them.
Right.
But his is like a shrunken, is a smaller version of that.
Yeah, the House of Lords is kind of the place where England's leaders and politicians meet to kind of talk about how to lead that country, and they have a very nice library, so it inspired Nixon to copy it and create a shrunken version or a smaller version of it.
Well, you'll notice that his books are in these wood bookshelves, probably kind of carved, beautiful bookshelves, and they're crammed with hardbacks. Now, what's the difference in a hardback and a paperback book?
Well, a hardback just means it has a hard cover, so you can't bend it when we say softbacks or soft covers. It's kind of those that you can bend and carry with you and kind of get maybe a little raggedy as you're carrying it around all over the place. But so he has an entire library of hardbacks or hard-covered books.
And usually when a book first comes out, it's a hardback book, and then later on, they have a cheaper paperback version, don't they?
That's right, yeah. And it's good, because it's cheaper.
But, you know, it doesn't look as impressive in your library, I'm sure.
That's true. Well, speaking of the House of Lords library here, they have 60,000 printed books, and so you could spend a long time in there.
That's a big library. But, you know, people used to have libraries more in their homes, even, and people would sit there and read, and maybe there'd be a fireplace a long, long time ago. Nowadays, they say, oh, I'm going to read on my smartphone or on my iPad or something, right?
Or your Kindle.
My Kindle or something like that. But there's nothing like reading right out of these books. Don't you think it's wonderful to continue to read books?
Yeah, I think it's a very different experience. I think, you know, having that kind of feeling of accomplishment when you've read through half or through the entire book and kind of flipping each page. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very different experience than.
I think it is too. Okay. And then to keep the books on the shelves and everybody else can read them, or you can go back and refer to them or put little markers in them, mm-hmm. or you go back and look up something. There's nothing like just a real book.
Right.
You can read a lot of things digital. It's nice. It's convenient when you travel. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of nice to have a library of real paper books, isn't it?
Right.
It's kind of old-fashioned, but it's still popular.
Very much.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. You can go through and just mark up things and then refer to them later. And it does take up more space, but I like just to turn the pages and mark up things. And
right. Yeah. Me too. So we all have little mementos and things that remind us of things, collections of of dolls. Some people collect spoons. They have a little coffee kind of spoon or teaspoon from different places, right?
Right, right. When I was younger, I actually collected stamps.
And stamps. Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of people collect stamps,
we collected
right.
stamps from all over the world, and we would ask my parents' friends to send us
right.
stamps.
Yeah, oh, that's very so popular, really cool. stamp collecting, right?
Yeah.
Right. So he had this idea of doing these things, and he decided he was going to do it, and he did it. Now, you might have some other ideas. You think what he did wasn't very interesting. So tell each other, tell your friends what you would like to do, and then do something about it. Don't just talk about it. You want to learn how to go scuba diving, then learn, which some of us did, right? Some
right,
of us did.
Exactly.
And try to go out and do the things you think you want to do this the coming year.
Yeah, maybe keep your lists short. Don't make too many goals because it would be harder to achieve. Make it sure it's attainable.
Right. And be sure that one of your goals is to keep using English when you speak to people, because that would be a good New Year's resolution. I'm going to use more English, I'm going to listen more, read more, and look at the new magazines when they come out in January. But we'll see you again tomorrow when we talk more about this motivation that this person had. So be sure and be here. Will you all be here?
We will.
See you then.
Goodbye.